Jones and Keefe. We are live from Gillette Stadium on WEEI, presented by McFarland Energy. The heating, cooling, and bioheat delivery pros at Eastern Mass and all of Cape Cod depend on at McFarlandEnergy.com. Tommy Tuesday, if you're watching on twitch.tv/BostonWEEI, which you should be. Tommy Curran, NBC Sports Boston. I just blow out your eardrums there, Tommy.
On that initial,
first syllable. White Stripes. They'll get you. They'll get you going. It's no. What were you singing when you came up here?
I was singing Steelers wheels. Steelers wheels stuck wheel. In the middle with you. If you guys have seen Reservoir Dogs,
sure.
Stephen Wright was your DJ on that particular program. Mm-hmm.
Curran, your takeaways here on day six. What I know you're watching the receivers very, very close. What was your big sweeping takeaway today?
Sweeping takeaway was, again, another fun practice. I think the offense is doing better than I would have imagined. And that was echoed by both Cole Strange when we talked to him and Josh Dobbs, who said a little uneven in terms of the high red zone and the low red zone. That's being inside the 10 or even down around the 5 at the early portion of practice. But Dobbs thought that they showed much better in the latter portions, and they did. A lot of quick opening stuff. You should see the defense get their hands on footballs, and they did. So my overall from today was it's a pretty fair fight right now, and we've watched the last few years, Rich, not fair fights. Guys wandering through the offensive line with their hand up going, someone should have blocked me. So it's been pretty fair. Phil Perry did a good job on some of the one-on-ones. He said Jared Wilson had a Joe Tooney-esque day in one-on-ones.
Ooh.
Nice.
Put down Barmore, put down Williams. He said that Campbell was much better in the one-on-ones. Notes of concern that you guys have probably already told your listeners. Gonzalez not out there. I think the hope is that that's day-to-day and not week-to-week. Garrett Bradbury got rolled on, I think, and he spent the rest of the practice out. And it looked like Morgan Moses was in a maintenance day. He left after some of the positional stuff.
Where are we at on Morgan Moses? Because that was a name we have brought up. It seemed like they were, you know, a little bit of a pitch count, which is fine for veteran guys. Some of the reporting yesterday and some of the stuff we saw from up here, he wasn't really his best when he was out there. And then today, whether it's a maintenance day or something else, like how sure can we be that he is the starting right tackle week one?
I think you can be very sure. Good is he relative to the rest of the NFL? We'll see. Is he a liability? Does he need help on occasion? I think he's going to be a good run blocker, but, you know, the matchup that he's seeing a lot is Harold Landry, who's a friggin' water bug. I mean, it's really interesting.
Well, it's funny looking at the is that a safety
who's
up
two
here?
Lined
like,
up wide?
That's a DN.
He looks Landry,
like a little, maybe it's the number. Maybe it's the two, but he looks like a littler guy.
He's booking, as we used to say back in the 70s around the end. He's booking. but he is, I think it's a tough matchup for Morgan Moses, but I don't think that they are sitting there going, oh my God, we have to do something about right tackle. But we'll see how that progresses. Layden Robinson was the guy who came in, I believe. No. It wasn't Layden Robinson. Who came in after him? DeMontre Jacobs.
Jacobs, right? That's what
DeMontre Jacobs was the second man up there.
Yeah, we saw a lot of Jacobs last year.
Yeah, maybe too much. I think we're seeing too much of him this year. Yeah. With I know they're managing Morgan Moses, but I think we're seeing too much of him this year. So today sounded like a better day. We had read some of Phil's tweets in real time. I didn't realize he referred to it as a Tooney-esque day for Jared Wilson. A lot of the writers, Phil included, were highlighting a better day for Will Campbell, as you just detailed. Through 6 days, dialing it back, how do you feel like the offensive line has looked compared to a year ago? Your colleague, our colleague, Andy Hart, said, coming into today anyway, he actually thinks it's looked worse.
Wild take.
As an O-line this year than a year. You think it's a wild take?
Absolutely. I'm like, how? What? Where? Why? What? In what way? I mean, we would, relative to last year, it might have been one of the worst offensive lines ever assembled. We sat up here and watched that Philadelphia practice, remember?
Yeah.
And it was just chaos. They couldn't even get the ball snapped.
Philly dominated that. Philly turns out good team, but still.
Yeah, it turns out they can play.
Yeah.
We watched the first day of padded practice yesterday, and the somewhat question mark fourth overall pick, at least relative to him being the fourth overall pick, looked really good in 11-on-11. So he got ragdolled in this first time, you know, going against a superhero physique guy in Keon White. How did he play in 11-on-11? It's good. Is Jared Wilson, you know, capable? I mean, Cole Strange continues to be, in my mind, a guy who is a more than serviceable NFL starter who's been snake bitten, thus thrown in the bin of, yeah, this guy's a bust, can't play. I just don't think he is that. So I don't know why Andy said that. I don't know where he gets off. I don't know what.
How dare he?
I don't know.
First of all,
how dare you? it's that kind of wrongheadedness that is the type of thing that you're going to get from 2 to 6.
Okay? Mm-hmm. That's true. And you'll join them on Thursdays.
Yes.
You can talk to those guys, break it down on Thursdays.
You can yell at them then.
Are we to look at sort of the emergence of Chasen as like maybe this guy has found something, or is it maybe more speak to what the offensive line is? Because it seems like he's popping up all the time, like in the backfield and making a lot of plays.
First round pick,
yeah,
formerly,
yep,
and continues to be a first round pick. You're always a first.
You always will be.
I would say that he's more carving a role than the offensive line looking like ass.
Okay,
I just don't think that they look horrendous. I don't. Interesting today too to veer a little bit on the content. I don't know how much you guys mentioned it earlier, but to see some of the read options, some of the stuff,
yes,
getting out on the edge,
I like that.
Was a nice wrinkle to see Josh McDaniels starting to feature some of the stuff that he might not have done previously, because we have heard and we have talked about that these guys keep standing in front of the mic and saying, "Yeah, same offense." Well, that wasn't the same.
No,
right.
Like you said, there was some option, there was some read option, there were some design runs, which is noticeable, I think, compared to some of the other days out of what we've seen. So maybe some new wrinkles in the McDaniels offense. How do you feel? Drake May, to our eyes, had been pretty strong. We weren't here on Saturday, but had been pretty strong throughout most of camp. Not a lot of throwing yesterday. Today, more throwing. It seemed like maybe a half step back for May. Is that fair?
Yeah, I think it was fair compared to where he's been. Is Phil, who I always rely on, because we rely on each other's eyes, as you guys do, as everybody does with their,
sure,
work colleagues.
Our eyes up here, we found, have not worked great. We're further away,
yeah,
than we realize, and our eyes are really letting us down. So this is why we're bringing in somebody whose,
that's
eyes,
right,
we actually trust.
Yeah.
We saw, for instance, it was a completion to Steph Diggs down in this corner of the end zone. He stepped out. You're not going to get credit,
yeah,
for,
see,
that.
Yeah, see, our bad eyes also thought he stepped out, so I'll take that.
I thought he stepped out before he even got the ball, and
I'm
then stepped out again. Yeah.
No, he stepped out before.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, Phil. Wave it off. Wave it off. I gave him a couple bobble calls. But as Phil pointed out, and I thought it was really good, he goes, he made some really, really good throws, and then there was some wild misses. Nice throw to Diggs down at the other end zone that was complete, dropped it in. He also dropped one in the bucket. There was a couple of nice catches too. One by Javon Baker, kind of going treetop in the end zone, plucking it, amassing, if you will.
Yeah, that was from Dobbs, yep.
And Jalen Polk also had, didn't count, but an absurd one-handed catch.
Yeah.
I mean, just, so, okay, there's signs of life. I don't know what to, at least fogging up the mirror, as they say.
What have you heard from some of the other players on offense about Josh McDaniels' offense, just sort of picking it up? Because we've heard there's been guys, veteran guys and rookies, that have come in here and had a really hard time with it. I know Henry and Bourne said it's similar, but those guys were also in it in 2021. A lot of new guys, including Drake May. But what has sort of been the talk amongst the offensive players about picking up, in some of these guys' cases, their third offense basically in 3 years?
I think a lot of them continue to circle back to it's he's such a good teacher.
Yeah.
And I think that he will have at some point, you know, you're going to have to accelerate so that you're catching up with the rest of the league. And I don't think they're going slowly right now, but I think they're moving fast. Look, I think the tight ends are pretty adept. I think the offensive line has a fleet of fairly sharp guys. I think the running backs are sharp. Antonio Gibson's been in the league for a long time. Stevenson's no dummy. Henderson seems sharp. It's, you know, Diggs is smart. It really depends on how do Douglas, Booty, Polk and Baker.
Kyle Williams,
who, yep, I also think is pretty friggin' sharp. Jared Wilson's friggin', he's very smart.
You know what's crazy? And this came out during the draft.
And this matters, folks.
No, it does.
He's a big snake guy, Keith. I don't know if you knew that about Jared Wilson.
I did hear that.
Snake guy,
he had,
yeah,
like pet snakes, right?
Yes.
He had to like give them up when he went to college or
correct
something. I was like, no thanks. No, but one of the takeaways was both the draft class and the free agency class was smart, professional guys. Like, they, like, across the board, like, really got really intelligent players. And so hopefully they can play too. Like, that's more important than just,
sure,
being smart. But it seems like pretty much across the board, like, if you're asking a group of players to pick up a new offense or to even to pick up a new defense, it seems like they got the right, you know, mental capacity to do so.
Yeah, if you're looking at the 2000s Patriots and you're seeing Russ Hoogstein and Tom Ashworth and Dan Copen and a bunch of guys who other teams would have looked at and said, yeah, we don't need that guy, and they win Super Bowls, it's part of the reason is they knew where to be and there weren't breakdowns. So, you know, I know that the wide receivers were not in the places they were supposed to be frequently last year. So is the coaching better? It ought to be.
Yeah.
I don't have a first-year coach, so hopefully everybody gets it. I mean, and the thing is, smart and ability to retain doesn't necessarily have to do with SATs and critical thinking.
No, oftentimes
I mean, Gronk
it's the
was a genius.
Yeah, right, right.
Like you played wide receiver.
Yeah,
you played receiver.
Yeah.
You played in college football.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Did you have an easy time with new offenses?
I mean, yeah, I didn't think it was the craziest thing.
Some guys
in the world.
Just say you'd have to go to him and go, "Oh my God, how can he not get this?" And he was otherwise.
Yeah, no, it wasn't that crazy. Yeah, and trust me, my SATs weren't very good.
Oh, I know.
But you're keeping a specifically close eye on the receivers. You're doing updates every day. You can check out Curran's latest at NBC Sports Boston. Follow him on Twitter at Tommy Curran. I don't know how to read the booty versus what feels like Kyle Williams battle, if you will. Like, Pop Douglas and Steph Diggs seem pretty secure, not only in their roles on the team, but in their roles maybe as starters. Bourne seems more tenuous. How does Mac Hollins factor in? Chisholm, Baker, Polk seem below that. But in terms of the guys repping the most with the top unit, I mean, it's not like Williams is getting no reps with May, but it feels like he and Booty are kind of battling for those same spots. How do you feel that battle is going? If it's even fair to characterize it as a battle.
I think it's a Booty-Bourne situation right now.
For making the team.
Yeah.
And Booty's got the leg up,
I think
it seems.
Booty's got the leg up because he's
Although
younger.
Bourne gave us good dance moves in the corner. We saw full-on dance down there. Yeah.
Good celebration.
Yeah.
Oh, Javon Baker after the mossing also fired the ball well into the air.
Nice. Yeah, that was good.
I would imagine that Booty's got the leg up on Bourne. As for Williams, they're different, as you would know too, I'm sure, and they're just built differently. One guy is more blocky and strong. That's Booty. And Williams is a smaller guy, probably closer to Demario Douglas size, and is more of a he's not more of a true X. If you morphed them together, it'd be great because Booty's not tall, but he's very strong, and he's not particularly straight-line fast. Williams is straight-line fast. He's just not particularly big. So maybe they're trying to get samplings of both guys' strengths and see it. I'm sure that there should be plenty of balls for all of them. But I do think it's interesting how Booty is. He's toilet paper on the bottom of your shoe. He just will not go away. Yeah. He will not go away. He's still there, and he's out there with Diggs.
And he makes plays every day. I mean, like, we've noticed him every single day, yeah.
So I think I've always thought that he was pretty good.
Yeah, no, and he's, I think, in the room around him, too. Like, he looks like he has a spot on the team. As for, like, Mac Hollins, any updates there on him? Because that's another guy that those players fighting for a wide receiver spot have a better chance if the longer Mac Hollins is out.
Yeah, that's a great question. I will also wonder, no, I don't have anything on Mac Hollins. I'm kind of just floating along waiting for them to say, here he is.
Mm-hmm.
But I am wondering where my guy E.F. Chisholm is.
Yeah, we have quiet, not, big OTAs.
Not noticed him much. I mean, he does filter in with the top team offense in May here and there.
Then he doesn't get the damn ball.
Right. Yeah. I notice him mostly, to be honest, outside of the individual drills, catching punts. That's the most
feels
I
like a practice
him.
Squad
yeah.
guy to me.
Yeah.
With the pads on, he's barely bigger than a traffic cone. I mean, I'm noticing that. So
yeah,
I had him.
That's tough.
I had him catching 171 passes in his first 2 years. And I'm gonna have to reconfigure.
You're going to have to scale those back.
Okay, right. Fair enough.
Or they're going to try and smuggle him through to the practice squad, and they think that there's moles all over the
place. Oh, smart. Yeah, smart. Well, even if they're not at practice, maybe they're just watching on Twitch, Jones and Keefe every day. I'd imagine
true.
That's probably where they're getting a lot of their intel. You mentioned updates on a couple of different guys. Morgan Moses, you think there's more management. You said you don't have an update on Hollins. You seemed to intimate the Patriots are hoping that Gonzalez is more day-to-day than week-to-week. We saw
that's
him out
the
here.
That's I got. I wasn't it wasn't like said, we're hoping day-to-day.
Right. But the sense you get, and he was here today. We saw him today
here,
kind of stroll through.
And I, you know, he did have a wrap on the leg, like a Lycra wrap, a warm-up trainer type thing. But I didn't see it. I couldn't tell if it was a swagger or a limp. So,
okay, well, that's what we were trying to decipher too, actually. That's the exact thing we were trying to figure out.
Pretty well. I thought maybe a little hitch in the giddy up, but maybe he's just cool.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know.
Maybe he just got some cool swagger. What are you hearing on Carlton Davis? Because I know he was here off to the side. He's not out there absent
said,
again. What's up
you
with
said
that?
Colton, and I just started swiveling my head.
No, I thought I heard Carlton.
Carlton
maybe I was just
Davis,
I was anticipating the
sorry,
question.
Sorry, sorry, sorry. Yeah.
I love when you guys gang up on me. it was Colton.
Clip that, Nick. Yeah.
And our guy was out there for a walkthrough last night. When they do a late afternoon walkthrough, I happen to see him moving along with the rest of the group. And then I did see him as I was entering the stadium today, leaving on a golf cart, but not in any kind of disrepair. So I'm guessing he was on the lower field or the rehab field. And he was being brought in from there. But I don't know what his timeline is either. It was supposed to be management. It's still July. I would be, if I were the Patriots or a Patriots fan, I would say I'd really like to see those guys on the field against Washington next week. I'd really like to see us be able to put our team on the field against the Commanders to get a sense of what we're going to look like.
And
so,
just for clarity, those guys are Gonzalez and Davis, or who are you talking about?
Gonzalez, Davis. You want to Moses. Put your full complement on the field. Next Wednesday will be the joint practice with the Manders.
I'm excited for that. To see Jaden Daniels on the field and Drake May. And like it's Jaden Daniels had the great rookie year, but that's a fair comparison. I mean, it's the number two pick, number three pick. See what those guys can do head-to-head. Good challenge for both. What has been your take so far of just Mike Vrabel running the show? Jones and I were talking about yesterday anyway. He was really seeming to be with the offense even more than anybody else. What have you thought of just how he's been running this whole thing so far?
It remains the same as it was in the offseason. Very organized, very to the point. You ask him a question, he gives a considered answer that is gives you some illumination. I think he enjoys talking about the mindset of things, which I enjoy, because sometimes you can't get into too much specifics. They haven't done really very much, and still they're not doing very much. You know, I asked him yesterday, what would you look for if you were in the media? And I thought it was an interesting answer because, you know, we do have a tendency to say, oh, my God, that guy got blown up in one-on-ones. And
some are saying it's the worst offensive line they've ever seen.
Some are saying.
No, but you got a good answer out of him. He said, watch everybody's balance.
He also said he'd never do media. With Curran, there's no way that's
true. Garbage.
You'll do it at
You
some
called
point.
Him on that properly, yeah. Curran. But he gave you a good answer. He's like, well, watch when the linemen are there, offensive and defensive linemen. Watch if they keep their feet. And then the first thing we see with Will Campbell yesterday is he gets knocked off his feet.
Yep.
And so, no, I thought that was an interesting answer.
I do think I should say this, though, relative to Vrabel. I think he did a great job assembling a staff because he doesn't have to be all over the place doing cartwheels and saying, you know, look at me, it's Mike Vrabel's day.
Yeah, no, I mean, and it frees him up to be mostly, at least from what we've seen, with that offensive side of the field when they break down into the two separate groups. He's largely over there. Anybody down the roster that's jumped out to you? I know one name that we've noticed a lot of the beat writers have highlighted is DJ James, the young corner. Anybody that's kind of caught your eye in that vein?
I'll be really honest. I'm really focused on the starters to a large extent, to the point where when Ben Woodridge or Dobbs comes in, sometimes I'm looking down and trying to get what the ones had done.
Yeah.
And trying to process. So I wish I could come up with someone. Chason has been... You mentioned him, a guy that was omnipresent during minicamp, and he's out there a lot now. I think the second kicker, Parker Romo. I mean, I'm digging now, but he was good yesterday, and little Andy Borregales bounced back today with
nice.
A number of good kicks. Of course, Phil goes, that might have been the least impressive 6-on-6 I've seen.
Man, like, so you guys are not sold on him.
I'm
huh?
like, Phil, he just can't win you over, huh?
No, I guess not. 6-for-6, pretty good. I don't know how closely you followed the Christian Wilkins situation.
Oh, yeah.
Mike Vrabel was asked about it not long ago, and he was like, yeah, we'll take a look at it. But then since then, we found out that it's much more than just like how he was rehabbing his foot. He may have also been grabbing feet of teammates, maybe giving a little smooch, something along those lines. Knowing what we know, should the Patriots have interest in a guy who was a very productive NFL player? He's still 29 years old, and at this point, I'm guessing won't cost you a ton of money.
No.
Well, it's always worth vetting how a guy would fit into your locker room. Maybe the fellas like that kind of tomfoolery. You know?
They have a bunch of guys who overlap with him a year ago. They have
Robert Splunk. You can ask him.
He brought this up. They have a bunch of ex-Raiders.
So, you know, they could probably – well, no, Josh wasn't there. I would say until you've done something with your $60 million worth of cap space, then you should continue browsing. Williams, Barmore, Tonga, Landry, White, I'm missing somebody, even old Penny Jennings. You got a nice
Barmore
front.
Barmore.
I did a good job with that.
Mm-hmm.
But if Christian Wilkins is going to be a $15 or $20 million guy, I would say, yeah, you know what? You probably don't need that. That's a luxury item.
He might need a 1 year of like rehab deal. He might need to just come back on the field, show that he can, you know, be a good teammate, as it were, and then go from there. Maybe cash in next year.
Yeah,
maybe
I guess. Maybe be less affectionate.
Perhaps.
Well, you know, it was a playful kiss on the head is what it was.
I guess.
As reported by Adam Schefter. He's Tommy Curran. You can check out all his latest NBC Sports Boston. Follow him on Twitter at Tom E. Curran. Of course, all over WEEI as well. Tuesdays with Jones and Keefe. On Thursday, you can yell at Andy Hart for his takes on the offensive line and check all that out on the Odyssey app. Tom, good stuff as always. We appreciate it.
Thanks, Adam. Thanks, Rich.
Thank you, Tom.
We'll get back to your phone call, 617-779-7937. It's how you jump in line for WEEI Afternoons. You got Hart. You got Fitzy. You got Ted. And another TED Talk live from Patriots training camp. We also have the clip du jour on the way. And right after trending with Billy Lanny, it's time for grab.